This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
In your Bibles tonight, I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. This is not a typical revival sermon that I'm going to preach to you tonight. But I'm not a typical preacher, amen? I'm going to do what God told me to do. I've got a few of these in here that I would like to do myself. But I want to follow the Lord tonight, if that's okay, and do something that's on my heart, and I want to help somebody. I don't know if everybody in here is going to get help. I'm looking across the building, and there's a lot of pastors and preachers in here that you ought to be up here preaching and me just shouting you on. But it's my opportunity tonight to preach, and I want to do what God's told me to do. And my prayer is that somebody is going to walk out of here different. And I believe that I believe that church services are just like your bank. You can only withdraw something you put in. And I talked to a man not long ago, and he said, I just don't get anything out of my church and the preaching at my church, so I'm looking for somewhere else. And he thought I was going to tell him somewhere else to go. And I said, let me ask you a question. What are you putting into it? And he said, well, not a whole lot, not anymore. And I said, do this. Go down to a bank where you don't put no money in, and go to the front desk and demand that they give you some money. I said, you will be locked up before the day's over if you act that way at a bank, but we can't go to church and act that way either. You will only get out of God what you put into God. And let me tell you something. He's a whole lot more than what I give him, but I'm glad that he will give back when you give him faith. Amen? Say amen right there if you believe me. 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, I want you to underline that in your Bible. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Elijah's wanting to commit suicide. The Bible says, and he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay asleep and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto the cave and lodged there. And watch this. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want you to underline that as well. I want you to have a seat, and Brother Brandon's going to pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. God, we're thankful for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for a place we can come, Lord, and we can worship you. Lord, I pray tonight, as Brother Brent's read the word, God, I pray that you bring to remembrance everything that he studied today. God, I pray, Lord, that you speak to someone's heart.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
I pray if there's one here tonight, Lord, that's lost, do not know you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that the word of God would convict their heart. Lord, they'd get saved before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray for that Christian that may have walked in, Lord, that's not as close to you as they once were. God, I pray you'd stir in their heart right now. Lord, show them the need of getting back close in the fellowship of God. I pray, God, everything we do here tonight, Lord, we give you the honor and glory for what we do. We love you, we thank you, and we're going to praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brandon. I want you to get in your mind the thought, what doest thou here, Elijah? How many of you know that God never asks a question because he doesn't know the answer? When he said, Adam, the first question God ever asked, he said, Adam, where are you? It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. It was God was trying to get him, Adam, to understand where Adam was. And God here asked Elijah, same sense, what are you doing here, Elijah? The reason he's asking why Elijah is where he's at, you would have to understand where Elijah has just came from. Elijah in chapter 18 of 1 Kings had one of his greatest moments in the ministry. He had one of his greatest moments as a preacher. He had one of his greatest moments and one of his greatest victories that ever came in the life of this Christian. I want to tell you something, that many times on your mountaintop experiences, your greatest moments in ministry often lead you to valleys in the ministry. Greatest victories, sometimes the next step is to go through a valley. God does not intend his Christians to live where there are no troubles, but he intends for you when you walk through trouble that the same God that was with you on the mountain is the same God that you will look to in the valley. The Bible tells us that Elijah has come from the top of the mountain and he's called down fire. You remember the story where the prophets of Baal said that their God's greater. And God, Elijah said, but our God, the God, is greater. And he looked at Israel and he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to wobble on the axis to one side or the other? Is God Jehovah the true God, or are the gods of Baal the true God? Once and for all, we will have the test. We put them on the line. And we're going to see who is the great God. And I'm glad to tell you, and I'm glad to show you, that tonight I know that that same God, Jehovah, is still the God of all gods in this world. He still sits on a high throne. I'm glad he's still God. Amen. The Bible tells us that when Elijah called down fire from heaven, that God sent the fire. God answered his prayer. They were in a famine for many years. And in that moment, God all of a sudden opened the floodgates of heaven. Isn't it good when God moves through and you know your family needs revival? You know your heart is grown stagnant and cold. You know your spirit's a little dry. But when God takes you through a great victory, he will open up the floodgates of heaven and rain down revival in your heart. Aren't you glad he's a God that can send the rain? Oh yeah, I am too. But here's a problem. Elijah left that mountaintop experience and God took him through what is called a wilderness experience. No greater roller coaster can ever be felt than people who decide that they're going to live for God. One day you are on top of the mountain, you're feeling pretty good about everything that's going on in your life, and the next day you wake up and hell is assailing and hell's coming after you. Didn't you know everybody that gets in it is shocked when hell attacks? But I want to tell you something. When the devil lost you, he didn't like losing you, and you chose God over going to hell, and the devil hates losing against God, and so he attacks your home. And I want to tell you tonight that if hell is coming after you, it is a good sign you're on the right track. One man asked the preacher and said, I believe it was Oliver B. Green. He said, I hate going over to that church. Every time I go over to that church, I feel like there's all kinds of problems over there. And the Oliver B. Green looked at that man and he said, I'd never want to go to a church that the devil himself thought was so sorry that he wouldn't try to destroy it. Listen, if things are happening at your house that are out of your control, you need to trust it that it's in God's hands, it's not in yours. And the devil hates you, and he's coming after you. And the Bible said that when Elijah left chapter 18 and moves into chapter 19, that all of a sudden he gets this message from Jezebel. The woman that he knows is a pagan lover. The woman that he knows is a Jezebel. That's why they call evil women today Jezebels, named after her. He knew what she was, and he knew that she was of the devil, but she sent him a message and said, let the gods do to me also what you did to those prophets if I don't take your life by tonight. Now, I read that, and I think, well, the next move that Elijah's going to have is he'll walk up to the door at old Ahab's house and point his finger in their face and tell them a word from God. And you would think that a man who had enough ability and was in touch with heaven so much that fire came down, you would think that a man who had so much of God upon him that when he bowed on that mountaintop and he said that he was praying for rain and he told his servant to run up and see if he could see a cloud, and he said, hey, there's a size cloud of a man's hand coming, and he got up and ran and said, the rain's coming, and God poured the rain on. You would think that a man that could call fire and rain down from heaven wouldn't have a problem with this one person running their mouth about him. And you would think that when people accuse you and people say things about you, that you wouldn't get discouraged either. But it don't happen. Boy, when God is moving, we feel big in our godliness. But you know what? God sometimes will take you through a wilderness experience just to prove how much you really do need him. I was shocked to read that Elijah, the Bible says, and when he saw that, he ran for his life. He gets up on top of the Mount Horeb and he begins to go through his depression. He goes through his discouragement, and in his mind, he's starting to think that this is the end of the road. And he's thinking, maybe the best thing for me to do is just pass off of the scene. I'm all by myself in this thing. Has a Christian in here tonight? Have you said that in recent days? I feel like I'm all by myself. And Elijah, that great preacher, begins to doubt God, doubt himself, and desire suicide. Now, what's funny to me is Elijah prayed, God, take my life. And did you know that it is said of Elijah that he never died? Did that amaze anybody else? That Elijah prayed to die and never did. So when God don't answer your prayers, you may check up and find out God might have a better plan for you too. And here Elijah is wanting to die. And I got to think about it. You know, if he really wanted to die that much, why didn't he just stay in Jezreel and let Jezebel kill him? Because sometimes you pray things that you really don't mean either. I sure am glad that God doesn't answer any of that. God doesn't even appeal to the discouragement. God don't go through the pity party with us. Aren't you glad that sometimes God will shake you and wake you up? Amen. Somebody say amen with me. Y'all help me preach tonight. I preach as fast as I get amens. Thank you. And God asked him a question. What are you doing here? And tonight, in the quietness of this moment, and I feel like you're either doing one or two things, because you're quiet, you're either listening or you're going to sleep. I hope you're listening tonight. But I want to ask you that question. I want to ask some young people, what are you doing here? One of the greatest questions that's been asked to me from young people all across this country is, I don't know what I'm here for. We have buried one young person after another. I just got out of a meeting in Georgia and asked my wife, and a young boy came home and blew his brains out and wrote a letter to his mama and said he just couldn't take life anymore. When a 14-year-old young man puts a gun to his head and blows his brains out, there's something in our country that's wrong. We've heard stories of girls. There's a girl in North Carolina that went home. She was bullied so bad that she went home and hung herself and did a Facebook Live video of hanging herself. 14 years of age. And there's some mamas and daddies in here that are raising up children. You're trying to do it right. I want to tell you something. We must equip ourselves to fight hell because hell's coming after your family. People are wanting to know, what am I? Tonight, I want you to think in your mind, this may be the most simplest sermon you've ever heard, but I believe it without a doubt that God put this on my heart to preach to somebody, to wake you up and get you to know what you're doing here and what God wants to do with you. There may be somebody in here tonight, you're fighting depression, you're fighting discouragement. Listen, that does not have to be the last chapter in your life. It does not have to be the epitaph on your tombstone. It does not have to be what everybody else talks about when they think of you. This could be one chapter that God has brought you through a dark place, but God is the author and finisher. That means that God is not done with you yet. What are you doing here? I want you to ask yourself, and I want you to think about where you are with God right now. Tonight, I want you to think, where am I with God? Is He just somebody you visit like a distant relative? There are church members that they only show up on Easter and on Christmas Sunday. That's what you do with distant relatives that you don't really like. But God is the God that before anything was, He created everything. Everything was created by Him and for Him and because of Him. And you have a purpose. You have a plan. I don't care what mama said. You're not a mistake. I don't care what got you here. I don't care what circumstance. It was God. And the Bible says that before I ever was in the womb, God was writing my life. He was working in my life. I'm not here by mistake. I'm not here by mishap. I'm here by the majestic hand of an almighty God. What are you doing here? Tonight, I want to point out some causes. I'm going to point out three if I can get to them. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Three causes, and then I'm going to give you three cures to the depression that sits on people. The oppression. A compression is something that takes place from the outside in. But a depression or an oppression is something that takes place from the outs, from the inside out. And somebody tonight, you look like you've got everything going on like Donkey Kong. You look like you got everything together. You got a nice suit on. You know how to put the makeup on. You know when the choir sings the right note, the right sermon, and the right song note, that you know when to throw your hands up. You know when to worship. But if we could take a peek on the inside of your mind and on the inside of your soul, there is a battle that is raging, and hell's telling you that you're worth nothing, and hell's telling you, like Jezebel, your Jezebel don't send a message by the hand of a messenger, but your Jezebel shows up every morning on a computer screen, or your Jezebel sits in another office beside you. Your Jezebel reminds you what you are not.
You've been through victories with God before, but your Jezebel shows up at your house every morning and tells you, you're not a good mama, you're not a good daddy, you don't know what you're doing, you're not good at marriage, and that Jezebel is trying to destroy you. But God is greater in us than he that's in the world. Somebody got to help me preach tonight. I want to give you three causes that lead us to a place where God will ask you the question, what are you doing here? God knew what he was doing there, but God wanted Elijah to know what he was doing there. What led Elijah to leave the victories and go through that valley? First cause that I find is he went on the opinions of other people. You know, one cause that will depress you is when you operate your life based on what other people say about you. You will start to believe what other people think and say about you. I had one preacher tell me before I ever got one call to go preach, before I ever preached in one revival, he said, son, I'm going to tell you something. He said, if you make yourself available, God will wear you out using you. He said, but I want to go ahead and warn you, you're going to have people that are going to brag on you, and you're going to have people that are going to burden you. He said, young man, you listen to me. He said, if you preach the word of God, there will be people that will applaud you, and there will be people that will be appalled at you. He said, young man, listen. Do not, listen to this, do not ever believe your own press. He said, because you're not as bad as some people say you are, and you ain't as good as others say you are. He said, don't listen to the outside sources. He said, if they brag, you'll want to get puffed up. He said, if they will come against you and attack, you'll want to be deflated. He said, what you need to do is realize what old Apostle Paul said. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be here. Brother David, I'll be honest with you. I'm not the most brilliant man in this room. I'm not a smart man to be able to contain knowledge. I can't do this nearly as good as I would love to be able to do it. And I'm the least of the apostles, Paul said. He said, I persecuted the church. What is a man who used to lock people up that was in the church? Now he's walking them down the aisle and setting them free in church. What's a man like that got the ability to preach? He said, I'm the least. I'm the last one. I shouldn't be here, but I am what I am by the grace of God. You're not what other people say you are. We've got girls who are in depression because they don't look like Hollywood idols. We got young men who feel inadequate because they don't have what everybody else has, but you've got what God gave you, and use that to the best of your ability. God said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't want to hear one more report that a young person has killed themselves, took their lives, or committed suicide because they were bullied or other people made fun of them. Don't listen to what other people say and ignore what God said. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but one reason we go through those bouts, we go through those places, one reason we get to a place where we don't even know where we are is because we go on the opinions of what other people say. Number two, not only do we go, these are the causes, not only do we go on the opinions of other people, but we are overwhelmed by the change in the atmosphere of our lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes expectations about what life is supposed to be will hit you blindsided. You expect marriage to be one thing. You found out it wasn't nearly what you thought it was going to be. Mine's so much better than I ever thought, but I had expectations going in it. She had expectations going in it, and I found out that it wasn't our expectations holding hands and frolicking through the tulips, but it was two trains coming down the track, and we met at the altar. And there's got to be some give and take. I give and she takes. I'm kidding. I'm going to come over here just in case. But sometimes your life will not be even keel. Sometimes the atmosphere is not what you expect it to be. Sometimes you'll go through some high places in life, and then there'll be other times that you've got to walk through valleys. And because you go through a shift or a change, it may shock you and begin to depress you. You may think, I wished I was somewhere else. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, I thought I would be a whole lot further than I am now? I thought I would have been. Yeah, no, Elijah, he thought after he called down fire from heaven that everybody in Israel would love him. But he found out there were some that hated him. And the climate shift upset his whole mechanism of belief. Let me ask you a question. When you go through cemeteries, or you have to sit by hospital beds, or you go through problems in marriage you never expected, or you've got children who don't do it like you try to teach them, does it depress you? Let me tell you something, that is a tool of the devil to knock you off course. Oh, Paul said it best. I'm using him a lot, but man, he had some good stuff to say. That's why you ought to read your Bible. Amen. Don't let him do all the studying for you. There's some stuff in there for you too. Amen. You know what he said? He said, I've learned to be content whatever I am. He said, if I'm on the mountain, hallelujah. If I'm going through a valley, hallelujah. There may be a struggle, but you know what? God done promised me I'm going to make it to the other side. So I may have to walk through some cemeteries. I may have to go through some trials. I may have to do without some things. But I've learned that God's got me, whether in or out, God's got me. Not only that climate change and that shift, he was overwhelmed by it. And not only the opinions of others, but here's the third cause. Can I give it to you right quick? You see, man? Is this helping anybody? Or am I just having a good time hollering? He said this, I found this in here. Not only do we operate on the opinions of others and we're overwhelmed by the sudden changes, but when we overlook people who are there to help. This one stuck out to me. I could not get it off of my mind. But the Bible says that when he come off that mountain, that same servant that he had run up top of that mountain, that same servant that rejoiced in that victory where he said, Elijah, I don't know what it means. I've been six times and I hadn't seen anything, but all of a sudden on that seventh time, I went back and I don't know if it's much. It don't look like much to me. He said, but it looks like there's a cloud up there that looks like a man's hand. Don't tell me that don't fire you up tonight. That was God himself unlocking the doors of blessings. Sometimes God just reaches out and high fives you. Amen. He said, I see a hand in the sky, and it don't look like much to us. It don't look like much to other people, but there's something going on that God's doing. And Elijah and that servant took off to running. They ran through the city so fast that they bypassed his chariot, and here they are rejoicing in victory. And isn't it good when God gives you people in the ministry that you can shout with? God gives you people you can call up or text and say, God gave me a victory the other night, and I'm sure glad that I've got people in the ministry that God's put in my life. But then the Bible says in the next chapter, that when he went to Beersheba, he left his servant there and went a day's journey into the wilderness. I want to tell you something. Too many times I have isolated myself from people God put in my life to be a help. I have isolated that woman more times than I want to admit when I go through troubles inside my mind. And I want to tell you something. I know you hear this stuff all the time, and I want to reiterate what you've heard already. The greatest battle you'll ever fight is not the battle between you and your wife. It's not the battle between you and hell. It is the battle of your mind. let this mind be in you by the renewing of the mind. That battle right here destroys me. I lose way too many times on that battlefield. And I isolate people. And I withdraw from people. I know y'all look sanctified, sanctimonious tonight. And I know ain't none of y'all ever got any problems like what I'm talking about. But y'all just shake your head, smile at me, and say, oh, bless his heart. I know y'all ain't like this, but there's times when I leave people God has appointed to help me. And if you're ever going through a wilderness, and God will let you know that there's some things ahead that may be rocky and bumpy. And when you're going through a wilderness, it's not time to leave the people there to help you in Beersheba. You know why we get so deflated? You know why we get so attacked? You know why we get so down? Three causes. Do y'all have enough time for me to give you the three cures? Y'all got enough time for that? I'll give them to you real quick. Preacher, thank you for letting me come this week. Here are the cures to getting down. Here are the cures that will lead us to where we know the answer to the question, what are you doing here? The first cure is this: look for his visitation. Whose visitation? I'm glad you asked. If you keep reading that chapter, you'll find that as he journeys up to Mount Horeb, he comes to a place that is a sacred place. Horeb is a sacred place. It is a set apart place, but it's also a superintendent place. Horeb was the place where God met with all his people. Horeb was that mountain that God visited with Abraham. Horeb was that mountain where Moses got his directions. Horeb was that place that God visited. It was called the Mount of God. You know what you need to do when you get down? It's as simple as this. Go find out where God is. Go to where God frequently visits. I am amazed at how our minds work and how, listen, how many of you admit this? The devil's a whole lot better at what he does than we are at what we do. You ever feel like that? Man, he is so cunning. He's a snake. He's a serpent. And he's subtle. And he knows what he's doing. And he knows how to get me off track. And it's amazing to me that when people get down, they decide to get out. When they get down, that's when they forsake the church. When they get down, that's when they stop listening to the right music. And there is wrong music, and there's right music. There's music that will remind you of where you came from, but then there's music that will tell you about where you're going. That's the good kind of music. And then there's places that you go that you wouldn't be caught dead when you're high on the mountain and you're full of God, but you'll go back to those places and you'll revert back to what you used to be. The Bible said that a man who visits his folly is like a dog that returns back to his vomit. That's how sickening it is to the heart of God when we forsake the places where God shows up. Isn't it amazing how when we get down, the last people we want to see, the last place we want to go, the last thing we want to do is anything godly. That's your flesh. That's your dirty, nasty flesh. And I want to tell you something. This flesh, my righteousness, my best days with God in myself is as filthy rags. Nasty, putrid. And the devil knows it. But that's when you need to kick it in the gear and say, you know what? I'm down. I'm out. I feel bad. I feel depressed. Somebody, is there a meeting going on this week? Get me to revive. The devil will do, some of you already know this, the devil will do everything he can to fight against you and to keep you out of church. Somebody in here tonight, the devil told you to stay home, but you said, I've got to get over to the house of God. I've got to go find out if God is there. I've got to go meet with God. Some of you, I thank God for those gray-haired saints that even when they get down, they decide, you know what? I'm not going to forsake the place of God because I don't need the opinions of others. I don't need what the world's got. I don't need what the television has. I need what God's got for me. I know old lady, her, she's in glory now, shouting streets of gold. Her name was Aretta Oglesby. I never will forget being a kid raised up with this woman. We would be sitting in church and the preacher would be missing it. The choir wasn't singing a lick and everything just be dry and there wouldn't be nothing moving. But old Aretta would sit back there and that old woman had arthritis so bad she could barely walk into the church. Every time she'd move, her body would ache, but she never missed a service at church. That old woman had to drive an old Dodge hatchback that would break down half the way to church, but she'd get a ride and hitch a ride and somebody have to take her on the rest of the way. That old woman lived in an old shack down by the river. She had nothing to her name. She was worthless in the world's eyes. She didn't have much money. She didn't have much means, but that lady never missed church. And there'd be times when it'd be dry as cracker juice in the church, and that old lady would stand up and say, preacher, I want to testify about the goodness of my God. She'd go to testifying and get happy, and she'd start saying, whoa, Jesus. About that time, somebody else jump up and they'd start shouting. She'd rear back and hit it again. Whoa, Jesus. And about the third time that we got a, whoa, Jesus, it was on. I mean, revival break out, people shouting, people weeping. You know what I think? I think that little old lady had the Holy Ghost of God sit down on her pew and say, oh, Retta, you know that old house you got? One of these days, I'm going to put you in a mansion and you don't have to pay no payment plan. Oh, Retta, you know that car that breaks down? There's going to be a day when you get to walk on streets of gold. Already, you know that body that keeps aching. I got a brand new body for you, and I believe she couldn't help it. She had to worship God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Children, men, women, boys, girls, listen to me. Even when you're down, the best place for you to be is in the presence of an almighty God. Because you can get in the presence of Trump and he won't fix nothing. You can get in the presence of great athletes and they won't help nothing. You can get in the presence of some of the best men here and maybe you leave and not are bettered by it. But I want to tell you something. Might I have a fit. Every blind man that came across Jesus, he walked away seeing. Every lame man that came in the presence of Jesus, he took off to running. One day Jesus walked into a graveyard and a dead man got up. I'm here to tell you that when Jesus gets on the scene, everything changes. You know what you need to do? Look for his visitation. And the Bible said the word of the Lord came unto him. Bible said, oh, I'm finishing it up, I promise you, but I'm having a good time. If y'all tell me where the lights are, I'll shut them down. Y'all go home. Bible said that he wrapped his face in his mantle. I ain't got enough time to preach all this, but I sure am enjoying it. That mantle, it was the sign of the anointing of God. And you know what Elijah did when he didn't feel it in here? He wrapped up with it here. The Bible said he wrapped his face in his mantle and went to the mouth of the cave where God was passing by may have been that same cave that old Moses had sat in one day. I didn't know I was going to have this much fun, John. Old Moses sitting in that cave, and he said, I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't see my face or you'll die. He said, but I'll put my hand over the cave, and as I pass by, you can see my hinder parts. You know what God was telling him? Moses, you may not understand where I'm going, but I can show you where I've been. That was good right there. He wrapped himself in that mantle and covered himself up. He went to the mouth of that cave where God was going to pass by. And the Bible said that he saw the wind come by and blow in those trees. It was a strong wind. Y'all remember that? The earth started, it said there was an earthquake, and the earth began to tremble. Then there was fire. But it said God was not in the wind. God was not in the quake. God wasn't in the fire. And in your life, God's not going to be in the tempest of the storms. You won't find him in the trembling of the earth beneath your feet. And you may not even find him in the temperature of the fire. But then, one of these days, you need to pray. God told me this. You need to preach all the but thens in the Bible. It's a good one. But then, a still small voice. Because he's in the teaching of his voice. You know why we don't hear God anymore? Because our music's too loud. We're watching too much. You know what you need to do when you get down? And what you're seeing don't make sense? Stop looking and listen for his voice. Look for his visitation, but listen for his voice. Because before God will ever let you see, you have to hear. Watch this. Y'all got time for this? Watch this. Remember when Jezebel sent the message to him? God showed me this today, preacher. Jezebel sent him a message. Remember it? I'm going to kill you. Just like you killed my prophets, I'm going to kill you. And the Bible says, and when he saw that, he ran for his life. Go to this place in that same chapter. And it said, in the still small voice, he heard the voice of God. And when he heard that, he's running. Is this helping anybody? Sure, y'all say amen or smile. If you don't smile, I'm going to come preach in your lap the rest of the sermon. When he saw it, he ran for his life. But when he heard it, because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And when you can't see it, just hear it. Teaching of his voice. And God asked him again. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, God, I feel like I'm all alone. I'm all by myself. There's no one left but me serving you. I'm the last one you got, God. He thought pretty well of himself, didn't he? God reminded him, he said, Elijah, there are 7,000 where you just left that was ready to take up arms and fight with you had you stayed. I have 7,000 that if Jezebel tried one time to touch you, she would have died. And see, what you don't understand, child of God, are you still with me? If you're still listening, I want you to hear this. You may not be able to see the company of heaven that's guarding your life, but if God could remove the veil, you would see that greater are they that are with us than they that are against us. I don't know what them people in Texas saw when that man walked in and gunned 27 people gutless that will walk into a church and kill an 11-year-old girl with a gun, heartless and gutless. I want to tell you something. If them people knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, when they drew their last breath here and took their last breath there, they found out there's a whole lot more that was for us than stood against us. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. The worst thing is dying without God. Elijah, I've got 7,000. And here's what I want you to do, Elijah. He said, I want you to go anoint three people. I don't have enough time to preach all of them. He said, there's three I want you to anoint. And he said, and if there's any that will escape the hand of Elisha, who I'm going to appoint for you, he said, there's another coming after him that I'm going to have to take him out. He said, and if they escape his hand, Jehu will take them out. And you know what? You know the very one that called for those men to cast Jezebel out the window was that very one that Elijah was about to go anoint, Jehu. Three times God said, I'm going to let you anoint the next generation of those that's going to stand for me. Here Elijah is telling God, I'm finished. But you know what God let him do? By his own hand, God allowed Elijah to anoint and invest in the next generation. You want to know how you can get over what you're under? Think about somebody that's coming behind you that you can invest in. You know how you can get over being down? Get a vision for what God's about to do. You know what we need as Christians? You know what we need as church members? We need to get in on a vision. If that man of God right there has a vision, this church ought to get behind him. If God's given him a word, this church ought to get behind him. You want to know how we can stop looking at all of our issues and thinking, I'll never get out of this alive? Look at somebody else who's got a vision for God and say, what can I do to help you with it? And the awesome thing about God is I'm not only living my life for me, but he is allowing us to invest in people that are coming behind us, that even when I am gone and I'm taken off the scene, somebody will pick up the mantle. You want to know why I know God's not done with me yet? Because God's not finished with them yet, and he's going to allow me to be a part of what's not only what is and what was, but what will be too. Somebody give God praise right there. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. Instrumentalists are coming tonight. And I don't know where you are. And you may not even know where you are. But tonight, I want you to come to this altar. I want to invite somebody tonight that struggled. If you struggled in the least, or you've struggled in the greatest, I want to invite you as a family, husbands, wives, children, young people. There will be some teenagers around here saying, God, it's been a struggle for me to live right. God, help me not to get separated from you. Help me to know why I'm here. Tonight, while they play, I want to invite you as a church family to get around this altar and say, God, when I struggle, when I get down, help me not get out. In Jesus' name, would you come?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.